It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
Welcome into the show. All those eye emojis and Brian Windhorst memes after the Texans did those restructures. Now we know why they did it. Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan. That news broke seconds before the John and Lance show ended. And if you want to talk about it, we're here for you. 713-780-3776. Stephon Diggs, a Houston Texan. This is coming off a somewhat viral tweet where a random person talks about the Stephon Diggs not being essential to Josh Allen's success. And Stephon Diggs responded with, "You sure?" And now he's our receiver. He sees a Stroud's receiver. You've got Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz, and Joe Mixon. So Joe Mixon's for different reasons, but the Texans have now acquired a couple guys in the last month and a half or so who you would never think would fit the Texans profile. Things have changed, and it means you've acquired a number one wide receiver, although the Bills had kind of minimized his role over the back half of the year, particularly after Joe Brady took over for Ken Dorsey. But he is still looked at as a number one, and you team him up with Tank and Nico, and it means the Texans are all in. And we know what it means when you have a rookie quarterback, particularly one of C.J. Stroud's caliber. You try to take advantage of it for as many years as you can because at some point C.J. Stroud will be cost prohibitive. He is not that right now. The window to pay Stephon Diggs, and that's the other thing, by the way, that's a guy looking for a new deal. You don't trade for him, and particularly when the compensation appears to be a 2025 second-round pick. You don't trade for that guy considering his personality type and what it means to have an unhappy receiver without paying him. So Stephon Diggs is a Texan, and just an organization who continues to do things that I would say goes against what they've been for the last 22 plus years. And why not? It hasn't led to anything other than a couple of divisional round appearances. So why not change the way you operate? So one of the premier wide receivers in the league is now a Houston Texan. Sean, you were out there when the news broke. In fact, you brought it to me, and I jumped in as we were closing out the John and Lance show, and you told me you had to check. Because was it because of the surprise or just because Adam Schefter fake accounts are everywhere?
Yeah, a little bit of both, actually. It was because I'm always on the lookout, and it is something that would be a fake story because, like you said, this is not your slightly older brother's Texans kind of move. This is not a move that they make with basically any other regime that they've had in the franchise's history. So it was a little bit of like a, whoa, this is surprising. It's what we've talked about it before, all the people that during the offseason, we'll Photoshop different players into Texans jerseys and say, "Nick Caserio, come get this man," or some version of that. And so far this offseason, Nick Caserio really hadn't done any of it. Joe Mixon and Danielle Hunter were the two big moves, and even Joe Mixon is a big name, but wasn't cost prohibitive. And so we talked about it earlier with them moving the money around earlier this week. What could it mean? Why could they be doing this? And we thought the more likely scenario was that they're just going to re-sign Nico Collins and roll some of this money over, maybe make a move in the secondary. Nope, they traded for Stephon Diggs, not just a top, you know, star wide receiver, but a star wide receiver that also means what we always kind of think goes with a star receiver, which means a little bit of a sideshow element to him as well, like you mentioned with the comments about Josh Allen.
Yeah. Even a guy, you know, he's got his brother who talked about Josh Allen and what Stephon Diggs meant for Josh Allen. So he's not the Devontae Adams, who's an elite wide receiver, but we'd never really hear much from as far as, I guess, distractions. Stephon Diggs is the epitome of quote unquote diva when we discuss wide receivers, but he's a Texan. We know the Joe Mixon thing surprised people because of his past. The Stephon Diggs fits in a different way as far as a surprise. And the compensation, as Diana Rossini puts out, is a second-round pick the Texans will give to the Bills. I see the Vikings in here, but it'll be the Vikings second-round pick. Yeah. It's not the Texans second-round pick for next year. It'll be the one they acquired when they traded down. And they also are getting back a fifth-rounder and a sixth-rounder next year. So does that speak to the value of Stephon Diggs, where it can't even be a straight swap of a second-rounder for him? The Texans have found a way to get picks back and get Stephon Diggs. He's 30 years old. He'll be 31 in November, and the Texans are going to have to pay him. What are we thinking, Sean? Will he get a deal along the lines of Mixon as far as length, not the money? He'll get more than Mixon to make this deal happen, you would imagine. But do you think he's getting a three-year extension? How long do we think Stephon Diggs is getting on that contract?
Yeah, probably a... It gets reported as a three-year extension, but really it's more of a two-year extension.
And the guaranteed money will be the deal.
Yeah, the guaranteed money will be of course, heavy for 2024 and probably 25 as well. After that, I'd imagine that's when it gets a little bit lighter because, like you said, Stephon Diggs is his age does kind of come into, not question, but comes into play a little bit once you start talking about him being on the 2026 and 2027 Houston Texans.
And you mentioned the name Nico Collins. Beyond the fact that he's going to be a weapon for CJ Stroud, does this mean the Texans aren't going to sign him?
What does
it mean for Nico Collins that they're going to bring in a true number one and a guy who they're going to have to pay like a number one? And can they keep both on the roster long-term? And long-term for Stephon Diggs is relatively speaking, but the money that we suspected would go to Nico is going to go to Stephon Diggs, we think. And that means now Nico's probably going to play in a prove-it season. And if the prove-it season is a good one, can they sign him? It's just a lot of things to contemplate very early because this news broke as one show is ending and this show is beginning. So I haven't got really a lot of time to get my thoughts together on it. But, Ryan, I see you. We're going to get to you on the other side. We're going to get to a break here just to get squared away as information continues to come out about the Stephon Diggs trade. We will bring it to you. But Stephon Diggs, a Houston Texan, the receiver for the Bills that changed the trajectory of Josh Allen's career potentially, if you ask Stephon Diggs, he thinks so. He is now C.J. Stroud's number one wide receiver, and you've got a very talented offensive core. When you think about who the proven guys are and your young guys are ascending, the Texans are in, and we'll see what it means going forward. But Nick Caserio not playing around, and I wonder, who will people give credit for this move? Who will people think is pushing for this move? Because, you know, that becomes a storyline. Who thought this was a good idea? All I know is people are excited about it. We'll discuss it more on the other side. We'll be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. We were going to talk Astros and their failures at home. Altuve's inability to run the bases deep into his career. Jake Meyers falling face first, trying to steal second base. But we can push that to a different time because as this show was beginning, or at least the last show was ending, the news broke that Stephon Diggs is now a Houston Texan. Second round pick that they acquired in the trade down out of the first round with the Minnesota Vikings. That Minnesota Vikings pick, the 2025 pick, is going to Buffalo, and the Texans get a couple of third-day picks back from Buffalo as Stephon Diggs is now a Texan out of Buffalo. And the questions about how Buffalo will fill that maybe beginning in with a Texas receiver. Lance's mock came out yesterday, And now we're trying to figure out what did Lance know, because he mocked a Texas receiver to the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about that and what it might mean for the entire AFC now that the Texans may have the best offensive core in all the conference. But first, let's talk to Ryan. Ryan wants to talk about the trade. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, Delvin Tito? Sean Nate? So I don't have an over and under on a famous blind going into OnlyFans today, okay. But with this move, the Texans are already sexy, but with this move, does it just make them super sexy now? What do y'all think?
I mean, if we're going to use that terminology, they're pretty damn sexy. This is a team that everyone's going to be excited about. The tweets immediately come out once a trade happens. The Texans' offensive weapons, and you start to look at the list, you're like, pretty nice. That looks good. Now, whether Joe Mixon is as explosive as he has been, Stephon Diggs had his lowest yards per catch since 2018, I think. So once you start to dig in, you start to go, huh, how explosive are they? But Stephon Diggs, a true number one, we'll see if that's the case on the Texans when you have an emerging player like Nico and you have Tank Dell. But you can't question the production from him. Another 1,000-yard season. And sure, there are questions about whether Buffalo was better when they started to really focus on the tight ends and throwing the ball to the backs with the firing of Ken Dorsey and the hiring of Joe Brady. Was Josh Allen less mistake prone because he changed his philosophy and that minimized Stephon Diggs' impact? He wasn't great over the back half of the season when you look at the numbers. But a change in scenery, a potential big new deal can change an attitude pretty quickly. And wide receiver moves have, for the most part, worked out. I mean, the Raiders aren't good, but Davante Adams, you can't blame him for that. We know what Tyreek along with Mike McDaniel did for Tua. I can't remember the last time a big-name wide receiver changed hands, and it didn't work out. Well, hell, look at Stephon Diggs and what he did for Josh Allen. And maybe that's part of a point of contention in Buffalo. Stephon Diggs thinks his impact on that team and on their star quarterback is being minimized, and now he's out the door. But he's here now. He will play with at least an emerging star. I don't know if you want to call C.J. Stroud an established star after 1 year, but a looks like a potential future star in C.J. Stroud, and he'll have plenty of help. So a big move for the Texans, a big move for Caserio, and it's just a franchise that has kind of just changed what people think of them. We're in a new era. I got here in 2002 when the Texans in the city, not the station. I moved here in 2002 when I was in high school, and the Texans were just starting. Has this city been more excited about this team since then?
Ooh, since then, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think the other kind of peaks of excitement might have been 2012. So it's after 2011, after the first time they make the playoffs. And so going, and they're basically bringing everyone back at that point. Maybe. But even that, like what Ryan called in and said or asked about how sexy the Texans are, I feel like this is the first time in Texans history that you could say they're a sexy NFL team.
Yeah, because even the time frame you're talking about, Matt Schaub was the quarterback.
Yeah, and you want to fast forward to like the 2017, 18, 19 Deshaun Watson, Bill O'Brien, DeAndre Hopkins run. There's kind of a limit to how excited people got with a Bill O'Brien coached team.
True.
Just by virtue of him being Bill O'Brien. So I think this is by far the most probably local, like enthusiastic, I would say, about them, like the enthusiastic support. They've had support for a while up until very recently, but they haven't had this kind of enthusiastic support. And they're also going to get like national love where I just fast forward to August. I bet when they do the graphics where everyone at NFL Network picks their Super Bowl winner, I'm going to guess there's going to be a couple Texans graphics in that, or Texans logos in that graphic.
I would agree. Of course, the Death Star that is Patrick Mahomes still remains, and you always have to account for him. But the Texans will be your Luke Skywalker, I guess, if we want to get nerdy Star Wars stuff that may take the evil empire, if we want to call Kansas City that down. This is a team that a lot of people are going to think has a real shot.
They'll be the team because, yes, obviously everyone every year should probably, just like with the Patriots, with the Chiefs now, the graphics should just be all Chiefs logos or 90% Chiefs logos, just like they should have been 90% Patriots logos in the 2000s. But you know how this game goes. That you got to think outside the box. You got to be able to stand up and be like, this is why I think, and for the past few years, it's been either the Bengals or it's been, ironically enough, the Bills as the kind of trendy, I'm not just going to pick the Chiefs AFC champion winner, like AFC champion. I think, at least for 2024, I think the Texans are going to be the number one non-Chiefs pick in the AFC nationally.
And meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens were the one seed, lost the title game, and the Texans didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Nah.
But, yeah.
Can't do it in the playoffs.
Yeah, the trendy, as you mentioned, the trendy choice will be your Houston Texans. Of course, there are some concerns, at least my concerns, are on the defensive side. They got maybe a soft middle when it comes to the tackle position and the safety position, and then the other corner. But if we're talking about the star power, the shine, it is certainly the Texans, because the Chiefs are at this point expected and they're established. If we're looking for a new shiny toy to talk about, it is the Texans. I mentioned the lack of impact for Stephon Diggs over the back half of the year. I wouldn't say he became a lesser player. It just was the way the Bills operated, and he didn't have one. He had five 100-yard games in the first 6 weeks. He did not have another one the rest of the way. There are some high target games. There's, you know, he caught 9 for 70 against Tampa in week 8, but he caught 7 for 87 against the Dolphins in the final game of the regular season. But that number is kind of startling. If we're talking about Stephon Diggs and his big play ability, he just wasn't that guy for the Bills really past week 6. So is that something that will continue, or is it just simply because Joe Brady decided we're going to do things differently? So there are some things you can dig into as far as what he'll be, but at the worst, he is still a really good number 2, and you're going to combine him with 2 young players that you really like, and of course you're going to get Tank Dell back healthy, and you got Dalton Schultz, your pass catching tight end, and then you have Joe Mixon, and you just have to hope that the interior of the offensive line holds up, those guys come back healthy, and then you have to hope Tytus Howard is actually your right tackle that you can trust, as opposed to the guard we saw last year who wasn't very good, but you're paid because you thought he would be your right tackle until injuries took their toll on the team. So good day, I would say, an exciting day. The good day stuff will be determined in the season, and we'll see what Stephon Diggs' impact is, but you can't knock what the Texans are doing, at least what they're trying to do. They think they have a real shot, and they're trying to take advantage of maybe a window where there's an opening to challenge the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely putting themselves in position to where they'll have a shot in a Chiefs game. Or, you know, if something happened, the Chiefs just get super injured, they can find their way. Find their way past them, because like you did mention, they did lose to the Ravens, and they were not. They're close in the first half, and then the Ravens just kind of hit the nose and just flew away.
Yeah.
So that there is still kind of a, you know, uphill climb to get to the point where you're making the Super Bowl, but they're behaving like a team that thinks they're close.
Yeah, and the way the Ravens play, I'm not sure the explosive wide receiver changes the outcome of that game. Sure, there are times when you get Stephon Diggs open or Tank Dell open, yeah, those are big play type guys. But the Ravens, even what we saw against the Chiefs, the Ravens are so good defensively that they may drag you into a game where those guys may be mitigated, and it'll just be a toughness competition, and you'll see who's tougher. And certainly the Texans weren't tough enough to beat the Ravens last year, and maybe simply they weren't ready to play a team like the Ravens, and a year of experience under D'Amico changes them going into next year. So I would probably still have the Ravens at two, mostly because of you weren't close the last in the two games you played, but that was last year. And we'll see what the Ravens are this year, and the Texans have certainly, at least offensively, become a better ball club.
Yeah, and not just offensively. I mean, obviously, Mixon and Diggs are kind of the you know, front of the marquee additions that they've made. But yeah, I mean, remember when we were talking about almost a month ago, like 3 weeks ago now, when free agency started, it was nothing but D'Nico Autry,
yeah,
Al Shaair, Danielle Hunter. It was they invested very heavily in the defensive side of things. Now they have kind of we still think that the secondary needs just another playable NFL body, but for the most part, most of the work that they've done this offseason, most of the most impactful work that they've done up to this point, maybe up until they traded for Stephon Diggs, was on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you're true. Maybe I'm thinking about the difference between Jonathan Greenard and Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter, a better player. Jonathan Greenard was very productive for the team last year. So, yeah, there is an upgrade there. And D'Nico Autry adds another rush element, whether he's rushing from inside on third down or simply one of your backup rushers, period. So they have added to the pass rush. We'll see about stopping the run and if that comes through the draft and whether the draft is also the place they attack the defensive tackle position. The corner and safety position, because why not be whole? And what they've done trading for Stephon Diggs takes wide receiver off the board. They don't have to worry about it. They can focus their attention on improving maybe what we believe are weak points in the roster. We'll see if they do as well. But overall, we're talking about a team who you got to be excited about. And the Stephon Diggs that doesn't play football, the guy who is off the field, that's questionable. But it's part of the reason he's here, because he decided I don't want to call him a grown man a troublemaker, a rabble rouser, whatever you want to call him. He likes doing that, and it's part of the reason not only he is a Texan, but it's part of the reason the Texans got picks back for him. It wasn't a straight swap of give him a second. We think about the wide receiver trades. Tyreek Hill went for multiple premium picks. So Davante Adams did too. Stephon Diggs, yes, age, the fact you have to pay him. Just give us a second. We just want him out of here. He's not somebody we want to deal with anymore. So they got
here's a fifth, here's a sixth.
Yeah, just take him. The Texans got a distressed asset. The Bills, who believe themselves to be a Super Bowl contender, now they've lost veterans from their defense. I think didn't Mitch Morse retire? Is he another guy from their offensive side of the football who's gone?
I think he went to the Jags.
Oh, did he leave?
Yeah, I think he got cut.
Okay. You're right. They did cut
him and all the safeties got cut.
They brought back Deion Dawkins, but Mitch Morse is gone.
Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, he's gone. Gabe Davis is gone. So that's a team in flux, and they're a team in transition. And good for the Texans, a team that appears to be taking a step back, but they do have the unicorn, that is Josh Allen. So they'll always be someone to have to worry about. But the AFC, the second spot behind the Chiefs is wide open, and the Chiefs in the regular season weren't the Chiefs. But yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. Mitch Morse signed with the Jaguars. But dealing with them in the playoffs is a different story. But why not be the team that is their main competition? And the Texans are trying to be that team, and making the trade for Stephon Diggs certainly helps. And that leads me to, if you think the Texans are a real contender, nah, it's not even a MyBookie spot. I thought I could do a futures thing with MyBookie, but it isn't. But I don't mind talking about Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing. You can go to aqueductplumbing.com to check out what they do for homes when it comes to repiping. And the repiping is important, but also the people doing it is important. They have people you can trust. Their contractors are excellent. In fact, I'm going to use a term that you would use in football. Their contractors are generational. Not just experience, but Experienced generational plumbing contractors are what you'll find at Aqueduct Plumbing. And what they do for you is they take care of your bad pipes. Bad pipes mean bad water in your home, and you don't want that. A leak can be damaging to your home. It could ruin your walls. It could ruin your flooring. But think just about bad water coming out of your faucet. What does that do? You're washing clothes, and bad water's ruining clothes. You don't want that either. If you want to call them, you call them at 281-488-6238 for the best free price quotes in town. And I say in town specifically because they're local. You want local people who are generational that'll take care of your plumbing, and Aqueduct Plumbing Company is that place for you. So they've got experience, they're great at what they do, and they'll fix your pipes, whether they're clogged or rusted. They'll repipe your home, and it'll be a brand new home, add value to your home. And for the really the most important thing is it's preventative. It keeps bad things from happening in your home. And who wants to come home, turn on the water, and have foul-smelling water? If you don't want that, which I imagine you don't, go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We'll get to the Astros here. But before then, Sean and I were discussing this during the break. We've talked a lot about A.D. Mitchell, the Texas wide receiver, and maybe where he would go. Is he a first rounder? And Lance Zierlein's mock draft came out yesterday. And it's very, what did he know and when did he know it, if we're going to speculate? Because who did he mock to the Bills as their first pick? A.D. Mitchell. Now, that could simply be because they don't have Gabe Davis in their wide receiver core, even when they still had Stephon Diggs, was something they needed to improve. But it's definitely something that they need to target now. And he was the guy that Lance put there, despite... And it wasn't Lance's analysis, but he did question A.D. Mitchell's hands. But the storyline here on this show, and Sean certainly disputed it, is that he caught the A.D. Mitchell catches the ball like he has tennis rackets for hands. And yet the Bills, at least in Lance's eyes, were going to take him, and they certainly need a wide receiver now. And the other thing is, if the reports are true, it's a $31 million cap hit, dead cap hit for the Bills to trade Stephon Diggs. So they really wanted him out of there. They wanted no part of him, and we kind of got into the fact that they got picked. They had to give up picks as well to make that deal happen. So Stephon Diggs, a Houston Texan. And we'll get to a team that normally controls the storylines in the city because of how good they've been. But the Astros had another tough night last night. The only one who showed himself to be someone we recognized was Fromber. Now, Altuve hit the home run, but then he did other Altuve things that we kind of forget about until they rear their ugly head. But Fromber was great. 7 2/3, 6 strikeouts, didn't walk anyone. I like to say he scattered 6 hits over 7 2/3 innings, because that's a baseball term. He scattered those hits over his outing. He was good. The problem is Josh Hader gave up a home run to a guy who looks like the drummer who was at a band that was at Warped Tour. I'm looking at this David Schneider dude. He looks like a dude he'd be a drummer at Warped Tour. He's got that mustache. If he had a V-neck on, skinny jeans, and some Vans, I'd be like, okay, you're on the main stage. I thought that game was over, man. When Josh Hader got the double play, I thought the game was over. I thought, okay, we're good here. Yes, Jake Myers. Well, that happened later. But sure, Altuve, a couple base-running blunders, but that's what he is for whatever reason. That's something he can't figure out. But they're going to find a way to take advantage of what Fromber did and win a ballgame, win their second in a row. But nope, the Astros' bullpen, which has been terrible, and I'll give you the numbers in a bit, fell apart. And by the bullpen, in this case, I mean Josh Hader.
The mustache is tough.
Yeah, I didn't know that David Schneider looked like that.
No.
But now that I do, it makes it even more discouraging that he's the guy who Josh Hader couldn't get out.
And this isn't even, it doesn't look like it's a new thing.
I think it's his thing.
All of his images have him with that mustache. No, that it's especially tough for Josh Hader when the entire theory of the team is
get to Josh Hader 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
And we've lost confidence in Ryan Pressly.
And he got his out. He was fine yesterday, thankfully. He needed to get a guy. Out. He got one out, and it was a big out, and he got it.
But for back-to-back nights, the Astros have avoided the middle relief, so that's good.
They're 1-1.
They're 1-1. They've scored 11 runs.
And are 1-1. They've scored 11 runs. The other team has scored 2. And they're still 1-1.
Hey, they're up on point difference.
It's true. If it was a soccer in a group stage, they'd be great.
But, yeah, I think Josh Hader, I think he is now all the – among Astros fans, and this is probably illogical, all the goodwill.
Already gone?
From Milwaukee, from San Diego. Those fan bases can have those memories. The guy we got can't get out of an inning clean. I know he's gotten out of what?
Yeah, one out of his three.
One out of his three innings cleaned. But I feel like every time the Astros go to their bullpen, especially when they go to their either Abreu on, was that Saturday night? And he gives up, I think, 3 runs in his first outing. Pressly, obviously, on opening day, gives up a run in his first out. Every time that it's like, okay, this is what they've built it for. This is where the super pen shuts it down, and it's been a disaster more often than not. Not even among the Taylor Scotts and Parker Mashinskis of the world, but of the 3 guys you thought would be kind of the staple of this team.
I'm just upset they gave up a game winner to a guy who looks like he drums for Paramore.
He's like 5'9" too.
Yeah, he's not even a big guy. Yeah, and all those
guys. If it was Guerrero, yeah. Springer or Bichette.
That would be annoying, but at least it's George doing it.
Yeah. But this guy.
The drummer for Paramore is hitting home runs and winning
Rob
games.
Rob Schneider's son.
I was going to say Dan Schneider's brother, but that's nope.
Too topical.
Yeah. That's a documentary that I'm a little old for all those shows, but watching it, I forgot what it's called.
Quiet on Set.
Quiet on the Set on HBO Max. That's not comfortable.
I'm old enough for those shows. I still have not gotten around to it because it's hard for me to sign up for a documentary that's like, hey, you know this is going to be a bad time.
Yeah.
It's like the Michael Jackson documentary from a few years ago where why don't you get bummed out for 3 hours?
Yeah, this isn't going to end well. You should watch it. That's kind of the tagline. Mostly, hey, you want to relive your youth in a negative, awful fashion? Watch this.
Turns out all these people are terrible.
Yeah, or were
victims.
Yes, not great. But David Schneider, not Dan Schneider. David Schneider hits a 2-run home run in the top of the ninth, and then it led to the Astros and. At least so far, the most embarrassing play of the year. And we'll hear from Joe Espada on the base running issues and Fromber when we come back because we want to get to break on time. But Jake Meyers, you're out there to pinch run. And the only reason you didn't fall directly in your face is because your helmet protects you. Wow. That was ugly. And Jake Meyers has a reputation of mostly, why is he playing? That's mostly his reputation. And Sean, your agenda of him redeeming himself by becoming a World Series MVP.
Off to a tough start.
Yeah, it's a little rough right now. Now, it ain't the World Series, so if they get there and he does do it, then we can have a different conversation.
But they're 1-5.
Yeah, and your bet of over whatever it is, not
92 great. And a half.
Oof.
Well, only need 91 and a half more.
Just don't play any more home games, which isn't realistic.
But, they still have 81 road games left.
Well, they...
need to run the table, and steal 10 road games, and I'm back.
Yeah, it's true. You would be back.
And you have to steal a home game.
Yeah, you got to find a way to get one at home to make it a series. It's been rough for the Astros. They'll try to fix it tonight. That's the great thing about baseball. There's always the next day, except when you're the Astros at home and you just wish the homestand would end because it always feels like once they're on the road, they play a lot better. Certainly was the case over the entirety of 2023. Hopefully we're not dealing with this throughout 2024. We'll hear from Joe Espada on Fromber. We'll also hear from him on the base running issues because they are many. And I'm going to ask this question, and I asked it to start the previous show. What do we compare Jose Altuve's base running blunders to in a different sport? Like, he's a great player who has that as his issue. I don't think it's he's turnover prone like in basketball, because turnovers in basketball directly lead to losses. Like, the base running stuff doesn't always lead to losses. And if your guy's a high turnover guy in basketball, you always think about that. We don't ever think about Altuve being a bad base runner until he does it. It's always, it's never, at least for me, never in the front of my mind until we see it occur. And you're like, oh yeah, he's terrible at this. What is it? I have my comparison. We'll talk about that on the other side. I asked Sean before the show to think of one, so we'll see if his differs from mine. Look at that. I tried not to be late, and we're still late. We'll try to fix that when we come back, along with the Astros base running. We'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't talked to Jose about that one. I don't know if he thought it was a dirt bolt read or he was trying to time Kirk throwback to the pitcher. And on Jake, yeah, you know, he had the green light. It was kind of sly step, so I was hoping that he shut it down there. But we wanted him to get a jump if he, you know, it was the 1-4, 1-5 that Chad Green normally takes delivering the ball. So, you know, it just didn't work out that way. But I really want him to be aggressive. That's why he was in the game, maybe trying to an opportunity to steal a base there.
That's Joe Espada after last night's base running blunders. Jake Meyers is the one that'll be the funniest because of what happened. All the views of him falling face first halfway between first and second. And because he's Jake Meyers, like the Altuve stuff, he's Jose Altuve. Best Astro ever. Hall of Famer. Fine. Base running is a thing he doesn't do well. Jake Meyers, you can't be that guy. You have to take advantage of your opportunities or people will crush you. And he didn't, and they are. Now, as I mentioned before we went to break, oh, by the way, if you're just tuning in, the big news of the day is Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan. The Texans traded a second-round pick that they acquired from Minnesota earlier this offseason. When they traded out of the first, they traded that pick next year. It's a 2025 pick, and they get Stephon Diggs, and they actually get picks back, day three picks from the Bills. We'll see what the deal is as far as will Stephon Diggs get an immediate extension, how much will it be. But you suspect that it would be. You just generally don't trade for wide receivers of his caliber without giving them new money. And we'll see what the guarantees are, how long it will be. That stuff for Caserio and the Texans to figure out. But the big news is they've acquired a number one who may be on the downturn. He is 30. He'll be 31 during the season. But just another piece to a Texans team who looks like they're trying to take advantage of an opening when it comes to challenging the Chiefs as far as AFC contenders. But getting back to the Astros, I asked this question to start the John and Lance show, and I'm asking you guys too. If you want to call in about it, 713-780-3776, or just tweet at us at DelV2 at Sean A. Mapes. What is the comparison for what Jose Altuve is on the base paths compared to other sports? A great player who, for whatever reason, a particular part of his game, he's awful at. It's not something that's going to kill you, as evidenced by, you know, the two World Series wins and him being a great baseball player, but it's just a blind spot in this game. I don't think it comes down, it's not as big as, oh, this person turns the ball over in basketball, because if that's something that happens all the time, it'll crush you. And generally you're not a high turnover guy and then you turn into a low turnover person. It's just part of your game. And this is part of Altuve's game. When he's on the base paths, you can expect this to happen. Unfortunately, I'm standing with he's a great player who every 15 games or so fouls a three-point shooter. It's just his thing. He fouls three-point shooters. It's stupid. And the other part of it is it feels like it's completely avoidable, because turning the ball over in basketball, the defense has a lot to do with it. Sometimes it's lack of spacing. a lot of things can contribute to it. Jose Altuve's blunders are all on him. I feel like the best comp, because the base running doesn't always kill you, it's just annoying, and you think it should be something that shouldn't happen. Hey, dummy, stop fouling three-point shooters. That's a cardinal rule. Don't do it. That you have one, Sean? A comp?
I was thinking that's a pretty good one, because it is the right kind of level of it's impact. It's negatively impactful, but it's not like it's not like being Shaq at the free throw line. That one's a little bit more. It's of the same ilk, but that one's a little bit more, because that's just like a straight up weakness in your game.
True.
I was thinking more of a offensive coordinator who loves the like bubble screen or
the fade on
or goal line fade.
Yes. Yeah.
Where it's like I was just thinking a offensive coordinator who has like one specific type of play that he, for whatever reason, he loves, and as you're a fan watching the game and you're like, dog, stop, this never works.
Don't do it. Please, anything else.
Please reconsider. No, because you can be a good offensive coordinator, but still have those like handful of plays that you're just so in love with that everyone else is pulling out their hair when you call it.
Or you're a mad genius when all it takes is just run the ball on third and one. Just run the ball. You are successful running the ball on third and one. Much better than you are dialing something up. Just hand the ball off, pick up a first down, and let's keep it moving.
Yeah, because it's not like I was thinking Andy Reid clock management, but that's a little bit tougher.
Because Andy Reid's clock management, people remember it is something that when it goes wrong can be really impactful. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think about Altuve being a bad base runner until he is a bad base runner.
I think it's something where you think about, you forget about it, and then you see it and you're like, he does that a lot, huh? And then maybe for like the next couple games, you still think about it, but then you kind of forget. It's like it comes and goes like the Andy Reid clock management thing. I mean, that was just part of his brand until Patrick Mahomes came into his life.
Yeah, kind of changed that. Didn't have to worry about it so much. Yeah, I'm there with you. If you guys, as I said, if you guys have a comp, call in. I think Franklin has one. We'll get to Franklin here. Or tweet at us, as I said. I'm just interested to see. Or if there's a player that exists that's alive today doing things like Jose Altuve, a great player, but just has this one hole, and it's at a level where it's not going to kill you, but when it happens, you can't believe it. Franklin, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I think Jose Altuve is kind of like Shaq shooting free throws. It doesn't always hurt you. You don't really see it to the end of the game, but sometimes it can get you in a lot of trouble. I just think that's kind of like Shaq shooting free throws. It's not the biggest part of his game, but it's always a nag.
Yeah, people have brought that up. I appreciate it, Franklin. My one pushback on it is Shaq being bad at free throws, we always know it, because every time he goes to the line, whether it's late or early, the free throw percentage popped up. We all know. And the hack of Shaq became a strategy. So it was always the forefront. Oh, maybe it's time to foul Shaq, but you don't plan for bad base running. No team can plan around or plan for Jose Altuve's bad base running. It's just something that he can't overcome. Maybe it's over-aggressiveness. I don't know what it is. But the Shaq thing that we have heard.
Maybe it's like a big man who loves to take like that 1-3 per game. Like the big man in basketball who he gets the ball around the perimeter and you're just like, please do not shoot. I know you're open, but you don't shoot this. Like, you're not Jokic, dude. Like, and then every time he puts it up and shoots like 25% on it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm trying to think of like annoying parts of people's games. You know, like the thing that's like, man, this is more annoying and it's bad, but it's not so detrimental.
You know, there was a time when it still happens during Harden's MVP seasons where he would dribble, 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 and then he would throw a grenade to a player with 3 seconds left on the clock.
Eric Gordon would have to make salad out of that.
Yeah, and that's probably more annoying to his teammates than it maybe to a fan watching. But he would do that. He would try to make move. Defense would converge, and then with 2 seconds left, he's asking this guy to shoot a 28 footer, and hopefully it goes. And all that dude has. is, oh, my field goal percentage is going to go down, and I got to take this shot, or it's a shot clock turnover.
I think the difference is, though, the Altuve thing only pops up like once a month, probably.
Yeah, Harden was throwing grenades like five times
like
a game.
Once a quarter.
Yeah, he was hitting one of his teammates was one of those. Yeah, you're right.
Ryan Anderson's like,
gosh. And you wonder why I shoot so poorly at home. I got to deal with this guy. I'm never expecting to shoot, and then he gives me a chance, and I have to get it up on the rim, or we're going to turn the ball over. So, yeah, we'll continue with that if you guys have thoughts. It is very hard. The Shaq thing, as I said, has come up a couple times. It's just that the Shaq thing was very pervasive. It was on everyone's mind because of how often he got to the free throw line and how often he was poor at it. But, yeah, he was Shaq, so sometimes it just didn't matter. The Lakers were up by so much. It didn't really matter. So we'll continue with that. And if you have thoughts on Stephon Diggs being a Texan, you can call in about that too. We'll get into some other stuff as well. On this show, I love TV so much, we like to close out storylines. So we have maybe the end to the DJ Burns storyline of potentially playing football. You know, the guy's got a Final Four to talk about, or at least to play in. But he joined Dan Patrick, and the subject about whether he would play in the NFL if things didn't work out in the NBA came up. He had an answer for that. We'll get into some other thing as well. Did you know Big Al is back? If you don't know who Big Al is, we'll play some sound to remind you. But it was the kid who said, my name is Big Al. They call me Big Al, and I hit dingers when he was playing Little League Baseball. All of a sudden, Big Al makes an appearance, and we'll play sound from Big Al, who's not so big anymore. So first hour wrapping up here on the show. Call in if you want to talk about Diggs or anything else, 713-780-3776. We'll be back.